How you doing? So this is Thomas Ella again, your host. How you doing? So last time I talked about these are my Game of the Year awards, and I'm doing sort of a giant bomb style deliberations. Only instead of them talking in a round table about all these awards, I'm talking in a room by myself into a mic to you, like a crazy person, as I said. So, last time I talked about most potential, and I gave it to Ellie Noir. So this time I'm going to talk about most disappointing. So this is the award that goes to a game that I had really high hopes for, and I thought it just turned out to be pretty bad. Last year I gave it to Red Dead Redemption, because I thought that game had real bad pacing issues, let's say, and some story points that I thought should have been cut, like Mexico entirely. So, this year, here, let me just read you the list I have here of all the games I thought were disappointing this year. Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. L.A. Noire. Mortal Kombat, or at least the online play. I'll get into it. Assassin's Creed Revelations. Killzone 3. Homefront. Shadows of the Damned. Red Faction Armageddon, and Alice Madness Returns. So let me just go through them one by one, I guess. That's what I did last time, and that's what I'll do this time. Uncharted 3, ugh. I loved Uncharted 2. Some of the sequences there were mind-blowing in a way that I can barely begin to describe, but I did in my review when that came out. Uncharted 3, though, is bad. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Uncharted 3 is bad. It has pacing issues. It has control issues. It has level design issues. It has story issues. It has issues everywhere you could think. It has combat design issues. You fight the same stupid brute enemies over and over and over. Let me go to my review that I just did of Uncharted 3. Let me talk a little bit about that. Let me see. Uncharted 3 stumbles right out of the gate, opening with an awkward bar brawl and a blatant disregard for the events of Uncharted 2. That's true. That awkward bar brawl felt really bad after coming off of Batman, because it does the same thing: one button square to strike enemies, and one button triangle to parry enemies. Only with Batman, it felt good. It was a real good feeling. It was responsive. It was quick. With Drake, not so much. It was swimmy, it was bad, it didn't respond as well as I would like. It was bad. Let me see. Chloe and Cutter both get inexplicably cut from the story about halfway through. Right, okay, so, spoiler warning, I'm about to talk about Uncharted 3. Chloe is a love interest from the last game, and Cutter is this new British guy, and they both, Cutter falls and breaks his leg, and he and Chloe both bounce after that point in the story. You get them out of there, and then all of a sudden they're just gone. Like, they just leave. They're like, hey, you know what, this adventure isn't worth it, we don't want to die, so we're gone. And they never came back in the story, and I'm like, what happened to Chloe and Cutter, guys? Like, there's no resolution to their characters at all. Now, I hear Cutter, the guy who played Cutter, got a job with the new Hobbit movie, and so they just had to write him out of the story real quick, but guess what? That's not really an excuse for just writing him out of the story in a really poor way. Let me see. The late reveal of Elena. So in Uncharted 2, you start out with Chloe as your love interest, and Elena's nowhere to be found, which is kind of weird because, you know, in Uncharted 1, you and Chloe had a thing going on, and it seemed like that would continue through the second game. But then Elena's nowhere to be found. Eventually, there she is. She's just been doing her own thing. Same thing in Uncharted 3. Like, again, you start with Chloe. She's not a love interest now. But Uncharted 2 ended with them, with Chloe sort of doing off, going off and doing her own thing. And Drake and Elena, they were going to go off and do their own thing, you know? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So it didn't make any sense to, like, lock Elena off from the beginning for the first, like, 5 hours of the game. Because it's like, well, what happened at the end of Uncharted 2, guys? Don't you remember that? Because I do. And they sort of explain it in, like, one line of, like, oh, Elena's still wearing her ring. So you assume that they got married and things didn't work out, which is kind of admittedly, kind of an adult way to handle it, of, like, we respect the player enough to be able to just have this one throwaway line and not have to explicitly tell them about the history that happened between Elena and Drake and how their marriage fell apart or whatever. But whatever, like, that's, it's dumb. Like, we already had a late reveal of Elena. You can't do the same trick in another game. Let's see. It ends on the exact same note. Right. So Uncharted 2 ended with you go into Shangri-La, you fuck up Shangri-La, Shangri-La collapses, and you bounce out of there while it's collapsing. Uncharted 3 ends with you go to, I don't remember the place, Atlantis of the Sands or whatever. I don't remember what it was called. And you go in there, you fuck everything up, and then you bounce out of there, and the whole place is crumbling down around you. Guys, you already used that ending in the last game. I don't really know that you want to do that again. Also, it ends with Drake and Elena going off to do their own thing. So, dumb. The sinking cruise liner. The thing they showed off at E3 that was really cool. Makes no sense in the story. Not one bit of sense. None whatsoever. It's just like this 2-hour tangent in the story where you're supposed to go there rescue Sully, but you don't really have any real reason to believe the guy, the dumb pirate guy, who all of a sudden is a significant character. There's no reason to believe him that he has Sully. There's no proof. And so Drake just runs off to go rescue Sully, but Sully's not even there because it was a lie the whole time. It was dumb. It was stupid. They just wanted a way to just jam in that sinking cruise liner scene. And then the scene doesn't even play out as good as it does in the E3 demo because they just put dozens of enemies in there that weren't in there during the E3 demo. So the E3 demo played really smoothly, and then the full game doesn't. God. Fight the brutes. Yeah. The aiming was bad. Naughty Dog had to go in there and fix it later. The combat scenarios. Oh my god. You know what? Read my review if you want to know more about why Uncharted 3 sucked, because this is running kind of long already, and all I've done is talk about Uncharted 3. L.A. Noire, also disappointing. There was just such a formula to that game of you'd get the indication that there's a crime, you'd go drive out to the crime, you'd walk around the crime scene, waiting for your controller to rumble, waiting for a chime that says, hey, there's evidence, until you've found all the evidence, which you also get notified via another chime. And you can't really turn that stuff off, because if you do, like, there's the option. But if you do, you don't really know everything you can interact with in that environment, and you don't know when to stop interacting with things. So it would be dumb to play without those chimes on. So then you get all your evidence. Then it'll give you a list of here's all the places you need to go to. You go to each place in sequence. You interview whoever's there or search for whatever evidence is there. And then you solve the crime. And it doesn't matter whether or not you failed all the... It doesn't matter whether or not you got the bare minimum of evidence. It doesn't matter whether or not you did really poorly in the interviews with people and the interrogations. You're always going to be able to find out who did it. And there's no... Like, it needed to be a more dynamic game than it was. And it just wasn't. Like, it wasn't a very dynamic game at all. Like, you always come to the same conclusion. Like, how cool would that be if sometimes you just didn't solve a crime and the game just went on? Or if you just arrested the wrong guy and the game went on? Or it's something, you know? I don't know. You get dropped down a rank and you have to do a couple other crimes for a while. Like they sort of do that with the arson missions, but that's part of the story and not something that just happens. Whatever. That game was disappointing. Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat was extraordinarily disappointing because, my God, that game is so good. That game is so fun to play until you take it online. Once you take it online, that game breaks completely. Like, all the cool systems they've built, all the fun and satisfying fighting mechanics completely break. You can't find matches. You, like, once you get into a match, if you can, it's laggy and broken, and you can't pull off any of the combos. Like, I couldn't pull off any of the combos that I've been working on in practice mode because I was so dedicated to Mortal Kombat. Like, I really, like, that game came out, like, what? Right when the PlayStation Network crash happened. So I couldn't play it for a while. So, but I was so enamored with that fighting system. Like, I was playing with my roommates, I was playing with my friends. We were all just, like, playing around the same screen and just having so fun with that game. It was so fun. I haven't had so much fun since I roomed with this guy who was so obsessed with Street Fighter, you wouldn't believe, and we just sit up until, like, 4 a.m., just playing Street Fighter 4 on his fight sticks, and that was really fun. But I hadn't had so much fun with the fighting game since then. And then, you know, I try to go online and play it because I was like, I really want to be competitive with Mortal Kombat. Like, I want that to be my game where I play it online for months and months and, like, years. You know, like, that was going to be my Street Fighter 4 for my roommate. You know, like, that was going to be my version of that where I would just play it all the time and just have, you know, get real deep into it and just have so much fun. And then the online was terrible. And it took them months to fix it. Like, I was so... Like, here's what defines disappointing to me, is I actually went on the Mortal Kombat website, on the Warner Bros. Website, and I went onto the forums, and I posted, you know, here's the thing that's happening in my game, here's this sound glitch that's happening, here's, you know, here's all the trouble I'm having with the online, when is this getting fixed, when is this getting fixed, when is this getting fixed, and it was, they never fixed it. Like, okay, I hear it's fixed now, but it's like that was 6 months too late. Like, now it's too late. Like, I haven't played Mortal Kombat in like 6 months because after, you know, like literally weeks and weeks of going on the Mortal Kombat forums, you know, like on the tech support forums and waiting for a patch, and then, oh, a patch would come out, but it's not the patch that fixes online. It's the patch that like balances characters a little bit. Like, I'm not good at it anymore, and I don't want to be good at it anymore. You know, like, I don't care anymore. Like, I'm waiting for the next Mortal Kombat to come out, and they better have, like, if they don't have flawless online with next Mortal Kombat, that game is a complete failure already, because they had their one shot here, and they basically blew it. And it's out of the goodness of my heart, and probably other people's hearts, that I will be willing to give Mortal Kombat 2, or whatever, a second chance. Because, again, that game was so fun offline. Assassin's Creed Revelations. Brotherhood was my favorite game the year it came out, 2010. Favorite game. So fun. Like, I thought that game was gonna be really bad, because I thought it was just gonna be a cash in like everyone else. But then it was so fun. Like, it introduced so many cool mechanics. And Revelations, I thought was gonna be a cash in, and guess what it was? They kept saying, you know, it'll have story revelations, you know, like, hence Revelations, right? Nope. You learn nothing in that game. You learn absolutely nothing. Like, anything you learn about Desmond in that game, you know, the main future guy, you already knew. Like, you just get elaborated upon. Anything you wanted to find out about Ezio or Altair, you either already knew, for Ezio, or at least didn't care about, like, whatever, Ezio, like, who cares about what happens to Ezio after Brotherhood? Like, we've been playing as him for a while. Like, he goes off and he does his own thing. He gets laid, and he has kids. That's what happens to Ezio. And then Altair, okay, the Altair missions were bad. Like, they were fun, but they were bad, because first of all, that's really deceptive marketing, because they made it sound like Altair was gonna, like, a main character. Like, you're gonna play as Desmond, you're gonna play as Ezio, and you're also gonna play as Altair, like, for a significant portion of the game. But no, it's like five missions or something like that, like five missions, and they're short. But the things they insinuate, or sorry, the things they detail happening that you play as Altair for, in terms of what happens after Assassin's Creed 1, they did not. They insinuated what happened to Altair and the Assassin's Order after Assassin's Creed 1 in Assassin's Creed 2, and those things don't match up. Like, the things they insinuated happened to Altair and with the Assassin's Creed Order do not match up to what happened in Revelations or what was shown in Revelations. Like, it didn't match up, and that frustrated me a lot. And then at the end of the game, the big revelation, again, spoiler warning, is you just learn the same thing about how the world's gonna end because of a solar flare, and look at all these gods, and you see a new god thing, the ones who came before, but it's the same twist. It's the same twist. You can't have the same twist twice. Like, I already knew because of Brotherhood and 2, like, what was happening with all that stuff. Like, you can't just give me that same twist again and then just, like, it was dumb. It was dumb. There was no revelation there. Killzone 3. God damn it. God damn it, Killzone. Like, Killzone 2 was so good. Killzone 2 was really fun. Like, the online could have been a little bit better, like the spawn points and stuff, like things just got a little congested. But the story was kind of cool, even though Rico sucked. And then, like the mechanics were cool, like the way your gun was heavy and stuff. Like, I thought that was cool, and differentiated from other shooters. And the online was really fun. It was like Team Fortress 2 meets Call of Duty in bleak sci-fi future. But then Killzone 3 comes out, and the story is really, really bad. Rico is now like your buddy, following you along, tagging along for the entire campaign. And the online was broken. Like, the online was straight broken. Like, sometimes I couldn't get into matches, sometimes the game would freeze, and sometimes when I was in matches, things wouldn't be going so well in terms of lag or whatever, and stability, general stability. So that was bad. That was bad. Like, it was still fun online. Like, the story wasn't fun. I don't think the story was fun at all, to play or to experience. But the online was still fun under the right circumstances. If things were working, it was fun. If things weren't working, which they often weren't, it was really frustrating. And like, everything about it was just rushed or bland, or just a step down from Killzone 2, which was bullshit. It was such bullshit. Man, what a terrible game. Homefront was a game that had, a cool premise. War-torn America, elicit emotions from the player, try to make them feel more of a connection to the setting, for American players at least. And I thought that was cool, but like, literally everything about that game was terrible. Like, literally everything about that game. Like, execution of that premise, the characters were bad, like, they were so unlikable. The combat was bad, the enemy design was bad, like the scenarios they put you in. It was all terrible. It was bad. God, that game sucked. It felt like it was from like 5 or 10 years ago. Like, it felt old, like in the way it delivered story, the way the gameplay mechanics worked, the way you move through levels. Like, sometimes, like, you had to wait for your AI partners to get to a door so that they could open it. But then their scripting would just break, and you just sit there for 30 seconds with them awkwardly while they stared at the door, and then all of a sudden their scripting would kick in again, and then they would kick down the door. It was an ugly game. It was a poorly executed game. It was just bad, dude. It was bad. Shadows of the Damned. Yeah, Shadows of the Damned at first was pretty good. I liked it. It gave a good first impression, and I love Suda 51. Like, I loved Killer 7. God, that game was so weird and cool and artistically just so strong. But Shadows of the Damned is it's too Resident Evil. Like, because they got Suda 51 to do the story and or whatever and the concept, and then Shinji Mikami from Resident Evil was responsible for like the gameplay basically, and he just made it like Resident Evil 4, but slightly better, in the sense that you could move and shoot, like Dead Space, but again, like not as good as Dead Space. Like, the first thing I had to do in that game, Shadows of the Damned, was turn the sensitivity down all the way, because in Resident Evil, it just sort of like floats and it goes too fast all over the screen, just like the aiming, like the laser pointer or whatever. And then in Shadows of the Damned, it default same way. So the first thing I did was turn it all the way down so it felt heavy, like Dead Space, because that's what I'm used to, and that's what I'm comfortable with, and I feel like that's what works best. But I mean, that game just, you fight the same enemies over and over. The darkness mechanic of, like, darkness can take over an area and hurt you, and things react differently in the darkness, turn out to be really bland and boring and stupid because it was just, look at this switch. You can't do anything with this switch. Oh, now it's all dark. Now you got it. Now you can shoot the switch, but you're getting hurt, so do it quick. Like, it just boiled down to that the whole time. We're like, oh, this enemy can't be hurt in the light, so shoot him in the dark. So it was just like, okay, well, you could have just taken all this darkness stuff out, and I would have been totally fine with it. And then just really bad humor in that game sometimes. Sometimes. Like, sometimes it was funny. Like, Johnson the Skull sidekick was consistently funny. Garcia was pretty cool. But the. Oh, God. The section where your gun, the boner, gets really long. And he calls it a big boner, and then you have to shoot these giant enemies with your big boner, and the whole time Garcia is just yelling, "Taste my big boner," or whatever the fuck he yells. Stupid, really bad, like really dumb and not funny. And then, like, not to mention that gameplay part was really bad too, because there's three lanes, and you're just kind of like shooting these big enemies as they come down those lanes, and it was just. Or four, I don't even remember, whatever. It was just bad. Like, it was all bad. And, like, the ending of that game was bad. Or, like, conceptually, some of the. Because that game ends kind of like twice. Or like two or three times, whatever. And it did some cool stuff with the ending. But ultimately, whatever. That game was bland and bad and not as good as it should have been. Like, it started out really cool and then just got worse as it went along. Red Faction Armageddon. I loved what I played of Guerrilla. I didn't make it all the way through because my save file got deleted because my PS3 broke, but I loved what I played of Guerrilla. Like, the destruction in that game was so fun that I was really looking forward to the sequel so that they could tighten stuff up, make it more compelling. But then they announced, hey, Red Faction Armageddon is going to come out. It's going to be 100 years in the future. You're going to be dealing with Martians, and it's going to be underground and linear. I'm sorry. There are many things wrong with that premise. Like, there are many things wrong. Like, not open world? Dumb. 100 years in the future? Yeah, I mean, whatever. But kind of dumb. Pointless. Linear? Again, like, not what I want. And what was the last part? Oh, yeah, the Martians. The Martians were dumb. They were so dumb because you don't want quick moving enemies in that game. It's not a shooter. Like, it technically it's a shooter, but it's not a shooter. It's a game about destruction. It's a game about blowing shit up. That's it. That's what that game is about. And they didn't execute well on it. Like, they had a couple cool mechanics, like the rebuild mechanic, where you can, like, the example they kept showing off was like, oh, you blow up a crate for cover, so you go inside the crate and then you rebuild it behind you, so then that seals it off. And so that people can't shoot you, which, great. But against Martians who are climbing all over the walls and they look dumb and everything's just bad about them, that's not it, none of that really helped you fight the Martians. I mean, it helped you, but like it wasn't fun to fight the Martians. It just wasn't fun. Whereas, like, when you fight against humans, in Red Faction Guerrilla, like, I would just run up to them and hit them with a hammer or explode a building on them or something, and that was fun because I played on easy because that's how that game's meant to be played. And Alice Madness Returns. The setting is cool in terms of like a twisted take on Alice in Wonderland, but everything about that game was bad. It was repetitive. You're doing the same three things in the game over and over, like platforming, combat, and hitting switches. And it was dumb. Like, it was a bad game. It was a really bad game. It was long. It was so long. Oh my God, it was so long. That first chapter just goes on and on and on and on. So fucking long. Ugh, God, I fucking hate that game. All right. Whatever. I did not like that game. That's why it's on this most disappointing list. Okay. So, like Giant Bomb, I'm going to limit this to one winner or I guess in this case, a loser, and three runners up, or sorry, and two runners up. So now I need to start whittling things away. I think Uncharted 3 stays on the list. I think it has to. L.A. Noire, I don't know. It was disappointing, but like I was looking forward to L.A. Noire, but I don't know. Let me just move on. Mortal Kombat. Oh, okay, Mortal Kombat definitely stays on the list. Holy shit. Assassin's Creed. That makes a short list, you know. Because I kind of had an inkling that Assassin's Creed Revelations would be kind of bad, just based on like the trailers and stuff. But I mean, it was still disappointing though, just in how similar everything is to Brotherhood, but in like a bad way similar, not in a good way. Killzone 3. You know, shortlist. It makes a shortlist. I was gonna say not that disappointing, but you know what? That game was pretty disappointing. Homefront. I think Homefront, I can get rid of Homefront. Because, you know, it was really bad and it was disappointing, but was it the most disappointing game of the year? No. No. It was just bad. Shadows of the Damned, I'm gonna get rid of. I'm gonna take off the list because it was bad, but it started out okay and it wasn't terrible. It was never terrible. It was just kind of like it just sort of wore on me, you know. Red Faction. God damn it, Red Faction. Red Faction's gonna make the short list. Actually, I should probably call that the long list since that's not gonna be the runner. It's not all of them can be the runners up. Yeah, I'm gonna cut Alice because I didn't really have high expectations for it. I just played it because I thought, I don't know, maybe it'll be okay, and it was bad. But I, you know, didn't have high expectations for it, so I'm gonna get rid of it. Which leaves me with Uncharted 3, L.A. Noire, Mortal Kombat, Assassin's Creed Revelations, Killzone 3, and Red Faction Armageddon. And I need to cut 1, 2, 3, 6. I need to cut three of those. God, I got some heavy hitters there. I think Uncharted 3 and Mortal Kombat are locks. They have to be locks. Let's face up against that competition. I'm gonna get rid of Red Faction. You know, I never even finished Guerrilla, so I feel kind of weird about having Armageddon on there. Like it was disappointing, but it was still kind of fun sometimes. Yeah, I'm just gonna cut it. Killzone, Assassin's Creed, or L.A. Noire. I have to cut two of those. I think, God, that's tough. Because L.A. Noire, I didn't like. I didn't finish it, and I thought I would like it a lot. But I don't know. Like, Revelations was the follow-up to my game of the year for 2010. Like, it was the follow-up to my game of the year. I fucking loved Brotherhood, but Revelations I really did not like. That's pretty disappointing. Follow-up to the game of the year for 2010 is on the most disappointing list. That's already pretty disappointing right there. And then Killzone 3. I really enjoyed Killzone 2. I played a lot of Killzone 2. Okay, I'm gonna cut L.A. Noire. You know, when I was making this list, I thought L.A. Noire would probably end up at least as a runner-up, but I don't know. Uncharted 3, that's a lock. Mortal Kombat, that's a lock. So now it comes down between Assassin's Creed Revelations and Killzone 3, which was more disappointing. God, I mean, they were both follow-ups to sequel, or they were both follow-ups to games I really enjoyed. Like, I really loved Killzone 2, and I really loved Brotherhood. Man. Like, Assassin's Creed Revelations, like, the only thing there is, like, yeah, I gave Brotherhood Game of the Year, but I really didn't have high hopes going into it. Like, I really didn't have that high of hopes. I just could sort of, like, in the trailers, in the concept, like, oh, playing as Ezio again? Like, when Brotherhood got announced and it was like, oh, you're playing as Ezio again, I was like, well, that's dumb. I don't want to play as Ezio again because I've already played as Ezio. I want a new character. I want to play as Desmond more now. You know, I want Assassin's Creed 3. But then you play as Ezio and it turned out to be awesome. And I was like, okay, well, you know, you sold me with this one last time as playing as Ezio. I can't wait till Assassin's Creed 3. But then Revelations comes out, and it's, hey, you're playing as Ezio again, and Altair. And I'm like, what? Oh, and Desmond's gonna be in a coma this whole time. What? That's not what I want. That's not what I want. Assassin's Creed, Ubisoft, whatever. Like, that's not what I want. I want Assassin's Creed 3. I don't want to play as Ezio again for the fucking third time. And I don't want to play as Altair again. But, you know, Altair's cool, but I don't want to play as Altair again. Like, you know what? And they also changed Altair's character. Like, completely changed it. Like, his voice is different. His personality is different. The stuff that happens to him is different. Like, it completely. Ugh. So, like, I didn't expect it to be great, but I didn't expect it to be as bad as it was. But Killzone 3, like, I played so much Killzone 2. Like, online, you know, like, I would just load up playlists for music, because that game had background, like, music, like, which is rare for the PS3. And, like, I would just, I loved playing as a sniper in that game. I loved playing as, like, just an assault rifle guy. I fucking loved that game. And I didn't really have strong indications that Killzone 3 was gonna be bad. Like, I didn't think it was gonna be, I don't know. I guess I had, like, a In the back of my head, I sort of knew that Killzone 3 wasn't going to be as good. I think, like the setting and stuff, like it never really grabbed me. Like ice and all that, like the ice levels they showed off, didn't really grab me as much as like the cities of Killzone 2 did, in terms of when they were showing everything off in like trailers or whatever. But I don't know. Killzone 3 was just bad in every way. Like, you fight with Rico, the story's bad, it makes no sense. Like, the ending was so stupid. Like, the ending was so stupid. Like, you genocide. You commit genocide. Like, you kill every living thing on Helgan. Every living thing. Like, you nuke the entirety of Helgan, and then everyone's like, yeah! Like, fuck that. And then, like, the stupid cliffhanger at the end where, I assume the Malcolm McDowell's character is alive. Like, how? Like, why? Like, why? Just why? Ugh. And then the online was really fun when I got a game that would work. Like, when I could get into a game that would work, the online was really fun. But it was so rare getting into a game that would work. It was so rare. God damn it. Like, the game would, like, the loading screen sometimes just wouldn't move, and so it scared the crap out of me, because it would just, like, I assumed it had frozen, because sometimes the game would freeze on me, and so every loading screen was just like, oh god, did the game freeze? Did the game freeze? Oh shit. Fuck, the game froze, didn't it? Oh, thank god. Oh, thank god. Whew. Well, and then, like, it had fewer options than Killzone 2 did. Like, at the gate, at the start, Killzone 3 shipped with fewer multiplayer options than Killzone 2 did. Like, how does that even happen? How do you ship with fewer options? Like, all right. Yeah, I think this frustration kind of outlines it for me. Assassin's Creed was bad. Killzone 3 was bad. But Killzone 3 was more offensively bad. And also, I had more reservations about Assassin's Creed going in than I did about Killzone 3. So I think I have to give it to Killzone 3. Like, I have to give it to Killzone 3. Like Assassin's Creed, like, I sort of knew it was gonna be bad. Or at least I knew it was something that I didn't want. Whereas Killzone 3, I wanted another Killzone. I wanted a better Killzone. And I thought it was gonna be a better Killzone. I wasn't as excited about it as I thought I would have been, but I still didn't think it was gonna be as like the atrocity that it was. Like, some of the lines of dialogue in Killzone 3 were so, oh my god, were awful. Like, let me load up. Oh my god. Here we go. Okay, so here's from my review. I wrote this down. Let me see. I don't know how they did it, but somehow Killzone 3's story is even dumber than the previous games, and it never comes across like it was rushed either. On the contrary, it feels like it took a lot of people a very long time to write dialogue this bad. Here's a choice quote I wrote down from a late game speech. Sev, if I'm going down, I'm gonna make damn sure these bastards remember my fucking name. Cheering. Rico, and that is why you do not fuck with the ISA. ISA soldier, fuck yeah. Narvel has a way with words, doesn't he? What? Like, what was that? Like, what is that dialogue? Like, that's just so awful. And they said the dialogue would be smarter in Killzone 3. Like, there would be fewer curse words. Like, they were like, oh, you know, I think fuck is only used like twice in the game. And then maybe like, oh, and there's also like one motherfucker. And it's like, no. Lies. All lies. You wrote a bad script, a dumb script, just as bad as the last one, probably dumber. Awful. Like, a friend told me that he tried to find that line of dialogue. And so he searched what he remembered of it, and the only thing he could find on the internet, on the entirety of the internet, was my site, which I'm a small site. So if all you can find is my site citing that, that means I was pretty offended by it, and I was apparently the only one who was that offended by it. But my God, that game was bad. All right, I'm gonna delete Assassin's Creed. Okay, so now I've got Uncharted 3, Mortal Kombat, and Killzone 3. Uncharted 3 was awful. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Production values stellar. Like, it's not the game you feel right about calling awful, because it's the kind of game where like it looks good and it plays well sometimes, and so and like has universal acclaim. Well, almost universal, obviously. But you feel weird. Like, I feel weird saying that Uncharted 3 is awful, because it looks so good and it's such a big budget game that it's like, to call it awful when it's not like broken, like it's not full of glitches and stuff, like it's just weird. Especially when it gets the reception that other people give it. But I just really didn't like anything about it. Like, I didn't like anything about it. Like, I didn't like the multiplayer beta when I played it. I didn't like the co-op when I played it. I didn't like the single player, which, like, oh my God, like they fucked up the single player. That's the staple of Uncharted. It's like crazy single player with awesome set pieces, and they fucked it up. Mortal Kombat though, I mean, I went on forums. Like, I was planning to be competitive with that game, and I found myself just like on forums, just like on tech support forums, just searching for like, when is a patch gonna come out? When is a patch coming out? Reporting my issues, you know, like, just, ugh. Like, I really wanted to get into Mortal Kombat. Like, I wanted to get hardcore into Mortal Kombat. And it was awful. Like, it was bad. It was really bad. At least the online play. The online play was really bad. Let's see. Killzone 3? Killzone 3 was really bad. Oh my God, Killzone 3 was really bad. I really wanted that game to be good. I don't know. Here's the thing. I think, okay, I think Mortal Kombat takes it, and here's why. Uncharted 3 and Killzone 3 were both bad in every way, like almost like in a desensitizing way. You know what I mean? Like they were both like, okay, well, these games were bad, so I've played them, I've burned through the single player, I tried out the online, and now I'm just gonna ship them back to Gamefly and never think about them again until after, you know, write a review or award a game for most disappointing. Like, I'm never gonna play them again, and I don't have to worry about it. Whereas, like, Mortal Kombat is a game where it's like everything is so good except for this one part, which is a goddamn atrocity, you know? So it's like I still like I'm looking at Mortal Kombat right now, like I'm looking at the box, and it frustrates me because I have not played Mortal Kombat in months. Like, I haven't played it in months. And like, when if you had told me in the peak of when I had Mortal Kombat, and me and my roommates and my friends were all playing Mortal Kombat, you know, just hunching over the screen, and you know, I was like making my way through the story, and I was like, my God, this is the best story in a fighting game I've ever played. I would not have believed you if you had told me that if you had told me that this game is not like, I'm not going to be playing this game at all, like, months from now, I wouldn't have believed you. Like, I wouldn't have believed you. Like, I was so into it. It was so fun. And because of the online play, that ruined the whole game for me. Like, things didn't work. You know, the online was so broken. It was so broken. Like, I wanted to get into that game, and I couldn't. Like, it just wouldn't let me. Like, whereas, like, Uncharted 3 and Killzone 3 were just, like, so bad that they were, like, desensitizingly bad. Mortal Kombat had things that were so good about it that the things that stood out about it that were bad stood out so much, like, because of that. Like, they disappointed me that much more, basically, you know? Like, it hurt that much more that the online didn't work, that the gameplay mechanics were so fun, that it was so fun offline. And, like, I actually found myself on tech support forums. Like, that's what really sells it to me, that I was on Mortal Kombat's, like, tech support forum, like, every day for a while. Like, every day, reading other people's topics, trying to see if there's any fixes, trying to see if there's any way to fix it, and, like, and you know, like, trying to see when the patch is going to come out, like, this magical patch the developers kept promising, and it never happened. And I just fell out of the game, and I was like, whatever, dude. Like, I guess I'm done with Mortal Kombat then. That sucks. And then, like, now I never play it anymore. Like, I never play it because the online was so bad. Like, I have no desire to get back into Mortal Kombat. Like, I look at that disc, and I have nothing but, you know, a sense of just crushing disappointment and just derision. Just, like, I look at that game, and I'm just like, ugh, ugh. Like, that game could have been so good, and it was bad. It was bad. Like, the online, anyway. Like, the online was so bad that it dragged it down. It dragged the rest of the game down that was so good to the point where I don't play it anymore. And that's what really clinches it for me, is that that one part of the game is so bad that it ruins everything else that the game does right. And that the stuff that it does right makes the stuff that it does wrong stick out so much more. Like, I find myself on tech support forums. And that's, again, that's what really clinches it for me. So I'm awarding Mortal Kombat, a game that I gave a thumbs up. That's right. And I stand by that thumbs up. But a game that I gave the thumbs up, the most disappointing award for 2011. Fuck that game. Yeah, whatever. I'll see you tomorrow for best surprise. Jesus. We'll be right back.